One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thanks for coming back to the show. I'm here live in our garage. I'm Ryan, and that's Bobby and Dave.
Woo! Scariest garage in East County.
Thank you.
Skulls and chains. And we'll just leave it to your imagination. You figure out the rest.
Yeah.
There's a coffin.
Erin begged me to take that off of someone's hand. She's like, I'm going to do all this stuff with it. I'm going to, it's not, it's, she's not done.
Oh, that's a classic. The wife roping into a project. I got a buddy a decade plus ago. There was a piano on the curb somewhere that someone was getting rid of.
A piano.
And she begged him, please, I'll fix it up. I'll take it home. It was so heavy. It took four of us just to move it. And then navigating it down the staircase into a basement where it sat for about 3.5 years untouched.
Ugh.
Until he finally broke it into pieces and threw it away. That's what you're looking at with this coffin, right?
I like the idea that Dave's like, oh, the old wife roping you into an unwise coffin purchase again. Huh? I've heard this before.
Hold this trick in the book.
So, guys, I went down the rabbit hole again. As you guys know,
Seem pretty comfortable down there.
Yeah. Like. We're going to start calling you the Badger. You spent a lot of time down that rabbit hole.
I have this habit. You know, as a comedian, you have a lot of downtime, and I use it poorly. There's a studio right now that is optioned an idea of mine, and I'm supposed to give them a script by fucking June. And I spent my time doing what I'm about to tell you I did. Here's the thing. I get in these modes where when I have downtime, I say, whatever happened to blank? Whatever, what was the deal with blank? And then,
where did Airwolf go?
Yeah.
Where's that helicopter at?
It's how I came up with my catchphrase, cruising with the twos. I'm like, I want to know what happened to the actor that played Sloth in the Goonies. And fucking 4 hours later, I was just obsessed with the guy.
You know, that is a weird thing of modern society that wasn't really accessible even when we were kids nearly as much. Like, what are you gonna do? Just read a bunch of books at the library? Like, no, fuck no. You read like 8 sentences on something and you're like, all right, I think I know about
it. You had to go on Wikipedia Classic, you know, the book.
Encyclopedias.
Yeah. Now you can spend hours and you're like, whatever happened to ABBA? And then you start getting into it and you're like, holy shit, she was part of a Nazi eugenics experiment? How did this happen?
Right. Oh, yeah, Wikipedia is great for robbing me of all my free time.
Yes, absolutely. But still making you feel like, huh, I guess I'm a little better than all of you for knowing this.
Oh, I'm not better than anyone for this bit of knowledge I'm about to drop on you guys. Okay, so there was a show, a kids show, that aired on Fox for like a season and a half in the mid-90s on like Saturday mornings called Big Bad Beetleborgs. That was the name of the show.
Yes, I remember that.
Do you remember that show? Holy, I'm surprised because you were like 39 when that was out. So
40, but.
So, no, I mean, all right, so 96, it was this morning kids show. It had the most ludicrous, stupid plot, even for a kids' show.
Okay.
Where it seems like they had two ideas and said, neither of these are enough for a show. Let's just mash them together.
Yeah.
So the plot of this show is these kids are living in this town, and there's like this haunted, abandoned mansion up on the hill, and they go in it in the pilot episode, and there's like the Wolfman's in there, and there's a Dracula knockoff in there, and a mummy, and they free some ghost from a piano. I don't remember.
It was the one that was on the curb that Dave's
there
friend
you go.
Made him
full circle.
Now that ghost is trapped in your friend's basement.
Yeah.
So anyway, they free some ghost who looked like someone. Please, as I'm saying this, Google image who I'm talking about. He looked like a cross between Jay Leno and Prince, and that was the ghost.
Okay.
I could not imagine a combination of those two. Ryan, you were making fun of me for knowing that show existed because it was in the 90s and I was an adult at that time. But keep in mind, as an adult, I was still like, you guys, Saturday morning cartoons in my day were so much better. What is this Beetleborg bullshit?
Yeah.
Like, I had to know what was going on.
So this is the ghost here.
Oh, okay.
All right, so this is the guy. By the way,
I like these weird neighborhoods where there's abandoned mansions just lying around. Where the fuck are the property flippers there?
Yeah, no, I've always thought that. I'm like, what happened here?
Yeah, why is somebody living in a single-family, two-bathroom house down the street when there's a mansion just abandoned up the road?
Because of this ghost. Did you not see this picture?
Yeah, all the 90s shows where there was a creepy house on the hill, everyone's living in three-bedroom, single-family houses. And then there's this like... 72-bedroom house overlooking. Like, did this neighborhood used to have a lord?
Right.
Was this a surf area?
This is not how white people work. We gentrify. We get in there.
Yeah.
Now, looking at this ghost, this guy, this character you pulled up, just
his name is Flabber, by the way. That's going to come into play.
Of course it is. If you're listening, if you're having trouble picturing this, if they made a movie version, he'd be played by Buster Poindexter.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's good.
With Jim Carrey mask makeup, but blue instead of green.
Yes. So they free this flamboyant homosexual ghost from the piano, and he's like, wow, I'm free. I'm also a genie because that's also, we're doing that too.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you guys a wish, any wish. And they decide to become their favorite comic book characters, the Big Bad Beetleborgs, which are essentially Power Rangers knockoffs.
Okay. Yeah.
So
now you've got a whole house full of monsters plus a superhero team?
Plus a superhero team.
They really did mash two random ideas
and
together.
And their kids. So like,
well, this was also the high point of the era where the television show was simply a commercial for a toy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So they're just like, I don't know what we're going to do. I just need them to buy this juice box and these action figures, which we'll keep releasing different versions of. And I remember because I was like 11 when this show was on. Like, I'd turn on the TV in the morning. It would start with these kids going to their favorite haunted house, and the series of boogeymen would try and get them. And then they'd talk to their old pal, Homo Ghost, and he'd be like, hey, guys, I'm also goofy. I'm pretty much trying to knock off Robin Williams and Aladdin, too. We're also doing that.
This is why you couldn't do this show anymore. Like, this show wouldn't make sense if you tried to make it in 2018. Because in the 90s, that kind of made sense, where kids could be like, hey, Mom, Dad, see ya. I'm off to the house with the creepy Liberace ghost. I'm going to go hang out there by myself with my friends. See you later. And they're just like, yeah. Go get molested. Go knock yourself out.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So they first go there. They fuck around with this idiot musician ghost of sorts. And then they're like, holy shit, guys, I forgot. We're also superheroes because of that wish we made.
Right.
And there's real life danger to fight. And then they have to go transform into superheroes and fight a monster. And that's the every show. So anyways, that amazingly gets canceled after like a season.
So had a good run.
Now, I hadn't thought about that show since like it was on in 1996. I haven't thought about it since 1997. I'm like, when I thought, whatever happened to that piece of shit, nothing of a show.
That show reminds me of speaking to somebody who's had too much cocaine explaining an idea they had in a dream. Like,
yes,
where they're like,
exactly.
And then there's a monster, but wait, hold on, he lives in a piano. And then he makes them all superheroes. And then,
Bobby, you actually hit the nail on the head. That's how the show was successfully pitched to the studio that produced
it. I might have been.
Hey, Bobby, just side tangent. Have you ever told someone who does a lot of cocaine that a studio is interested in your ideas? Because I fucking accidentally did that recently, and that was a night of my time, and I still get texts. So that's a whole nother fucking episode of this show right there.
Ironically, it went back full circle because they're like, all right, what about the script about this haunted mansion?
I'm gonna actually get together some of my heaviest user friends and be like, by the way, everyone, a movie studio wants to know my ideas. What do you got?
Yeah.
And I'm gonna sit there with a tape recorder and I'm gonna present
just
them on this
shoveling
show.
Cocaine in their direction.
Yeah. Anyways, it'll be worth every penny. So anyways, that show gets canceled. I haven't thought about it in fucking 22 years. And then I'm listening to my friend Ken Reed's podcast that's all about television. And he happened to mention it. He's like, oh, yeah, remember that show, Big Bad Beetleborgs? That was a piece of shit. And all of a sudden,
Ryan's triggered.
I know, I was. All of a sudden, I went, huh. And I made this horrible decision. I'm like, I wonder whatever became of the actor that played that flamboyantly purple ghost.
Should we turn this into a guessing game between me and Dave?
No, I'm just hoping that this ends with him getting a new catchphrase.
So, I mean, sure, if you wanna go ahead.
I just say, Dave, let's see who can get closer. What do you think ended up happening? This was 96?
96.
96 kids show.
Now, let me also tell you right now what usually happens when I say whatever happened to.
Yes.
Usually I'll find an IMDb, and there's a long list of CSI one episode, CSI Miami one episode, CSI Las Vegas one episode, Law and Order one episode, and it's
Judge Judy as himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Never anything remarkable, but it's like, they've worked semi-consistently. They probably own a condo and live in comfortable obscurity. That's usually what happens when someone was, albeit a shitty kids morning show, the lead of it. That's usually what happens. So
okay, so Dave, let's guess where this guy's trajectory
is. I'm swinging for the fences on this one.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the trifecta of pedophile, broke, dead.
Oh, wow, he's a dead bro.
Possibly in that order.
Okay, so did he hang himself after the child porn charges came to light? Or
yeah,
it'd be weird if
find them.
It would be weird if pedophile came last. Like, his corpse was just molesting kids.
Well, they didn't find out until after he was dead.
Still wearing the costume!
I'm going with the Holy Trinity.
Though. Okay, bye.
In that case, I'm going to have to differentiate myself from Dave. I'm going to go the opposite direction that we occasionally see it going. I'm going Kirk Cameron. He went super Jesus.
Ooh.
And he found the Lord and then abandoned all acting.
And then he got raptured away. He's gone.
No, he abandoned all acting in order to start his own youth ministry in Kansas.
Pedophilia. Okay. Pedophilia. We agree on that one.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to lean a little bit towards Bobby, but neither of you are really even close. So I'm like, I look up the show, and I'm like, all right, let's find cast. I found his name. I forget what it was. It was something very generic. Like, let's say it's like John Smith or something. So and on Wikipedia, you can't link to him.
Oh no!
So I'm like, ooh, bad
sign. No page
of
his own, yeah.
Bad sign. So I had to jump off Wikipedia, which already I'm out of my comfort zone. But I go, I'm like, all right, I'm finding this guy. And already I'm like, you know, an hour in here.
I'm imagining an 80s movie montage of Ryan on the computer.
Yeah.
The best
around. No one's ever gonna keep me down. So, anyways,
these bad graphics, like this cybernetic version of Ryan, like maneuvering
he's,
through.
He's flipping through some old file cabinets in the deep basement of a government office.
So, I go next to my go-to, which is IMDb, which has a little bit more on people than Wikipedia
right.
does.
Right.
And it's like, okay, found his page. No profile pictures, no fun facts of any kind.
That's especially bad when the person was on a TV show, they could just screenshot. Like,
yeah,
that's like,
yeah.
We really don't care.
Yeah. So it looked like...
Well, it's like $24 a year or something like that. Yeah. You can't afford that.
It looked like someone started a Facebook profile just to spy on their ex-girlfriend and they never used it again. Just no picture, no info.
Ryan got catfished.
He's an IMDb bot.
I just fucking imagine Doc Brown, like, he's been erased from existence. So I'm like, all right, but all right, I got a name and nothing about him, and I got two credits. That show was his first acting gig as far as IMDb is concerned.
Uh-huh.
And then like 3 years after it was canceled, maybe two, he did some sort of like no budget weed comedy that went straight to DVD in like 1999.
Sounds about right.
And by the way, bad move if you're trying to be a kid star, by the way. That you just shot yourself in the foot. Now no one wants you because you were in this shitty kid show where you dressed in purple and had like a prosthetic chin and kind of a pedophile. Huh. And then you did a weed comedy. Anyway, so that was it. Two credits. So I'm like, all right, I can find this guy. So I go further down the rabbit hole.
I like how all of a sudden you're like Liam Neeson in Taken. Like, you just can't be derailed.
Oh, no.
I want this to end with Ryan finding a phone number and calling it, and the guy answers. And he's like, I don't know, he comes to your house and washes your car or something.
I figure it's more like Ryan finds out that the guy's really down on his luck. Ryan buys up a bunch of his credit card debt from a third party creditor and then starts harassing him by going to his store every day.
Hey guys, warmer.
He's in the coffin right now, isn't he? He's waiting to come out. Our special guest.
Aaron said I get no use of that. No, I said that to her. I forgot. Anyway, so I start picking up tidbits. Like, I find like a defunct website or something like that. I find out where he was born. You know, so I find out his middle name. I get on social media and I start looking. I find the guy.
What social media platform?
On Facebook.
Okay.
So I find him there. I'm like, all right, here goes nothing. I shoot the guy a message. I'm like, hey, man, this is a long shot, but were you on a kid's show like 22 years ago that aired for like 8 episodes or something?
This responds guy, with a blue painted dick pic.
This guy hits me back immediately. Like, this guy had been just sitting in front of a computer screen waiting for someone to contact him for years. And he was like, Yes, I have. I'm back in Texas. I'm ready to work again. He's like, he starts.
He offered to grant Ryan one wish.
And he did. It was to talk to him. So let me give you a little background on this guy. This guy just goes off because he evidently went to my page. You're like, this guy's in showbiz. I'm back, baby. So anyway, he just sends me a fucking novel. He's just like, and he's like, he's okay. I'm going to sum it up for you because it took me a long time to read what he sent back immediately.
I'm just going to say, be nice, because if you look to your page, he's going to listen to this podcast next week, and we don't want him to like hear himself disparage and then put a gun in his mouth. And
that is true.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
So I'm going to really give you the abridged version of who this guy is and what he's been up to. So anyway, he tried. I talked to him for like 3 hours. He tried for a little while after his shitty kids show got canceled to make it in Hollywood and failed miserably and, you know, got one more role 3 years later, then said, fuck Hollywood, and moved back to Texas where he's from. And I don't mean like Dallas or Austin. I mean like Galveston. just fucking no one for miles, no neighbors, Texas. So anyways, he did that. He left in disgrace. And ever since, he has been waiting and very seriously for them to reboot the series. He talked about it several times. He's like, do you know anyone at Comic-Con? Because I really think these were actual words. I promise you I'm not exaggerating. He's like, you're in entertainment. You know someone at Comic-Con. I think they want to know the person behind Flabber. You know, get inside his head a little bit. Because I had a lot of character motivations that no one ever asked me about on that show. No one ever asked me about it. I had a whole backstory. They never went into it. So when they reboot this series, I'm returning to it. I know they're going to get someone else to play me, probably like Brad Pitt or someone, but I'm not going to let it happen.
There's so many ways I would have wanted to play this if I was you. Like, first off, I would have thought about hitting him up saying that I was on the show with him just to see if I could get him to buy into that.
And time's up, motherfucker. You touched me.
Second,
see if I get him to admit it.
When he brought up Comic-Con, I would have gone one of two ways. I would have been like, what's Comic-Con? Or I would have been like, yes, I am friends with Jim Comic-Con. He's my neighbor.
See, I really did think about that, but you yourself said, I don't want this guy putting a gun in his mouth. I'm not.
Well, I mean, I don't want it to be directly linked to us.
I would like it to happen, just, you know, somebody else to blame.
All right, there's some people where you gotta knock them down a peg with little pranks like that. This guy could not be further down the rung.
Okay, have you guys heard of something? There's a Facebook method of phishing where, because of the algorithms Facebook uses to advertise to somebody, if you have access to their profile and you go to their profile, you can tailor an ad that will essentially advertise only to them by kind of mixing certain criteria.
Tell me more.
So what if we did that? Like, we advertised, we set the parameters so it would advertise on his Facebook page only, and we paid, like, I don't know, a nominal fee, $15, and we put up an ad for the new remake of Beetleborgs. And again, we had some A-list star as playing the Flabber character, and we just advertised it over and over again on his page.
So you want him to kill himself?
I don't know.
I wanted to get really pissed at his agent.
He does not have an agent. Are you shitting me?
Agent? I don't know who you think has an agent, but it ain't him.
This guy's agent is Sprint, and it only works sporadically.
So, okay, by the way, I don't know why you're messing with this guy. I mean, what about him? But anyways, you know what? You're about to find out more about him. I don't understand why at this point you want him to be messed with. You will in a second. So anyways.
By the way, my impetus to mess with him was, it sounds like he's a little bit too full of himself off a small bit role he played 30 years ago. So
I think mental illness comes into play here, man.
Fair enough.
This guy's been sitting around for 22 years in the middle of the Texas
desert. Yeah,
seems
more like desperation than full of himself.
Yeah, this guy thinks that this kid show that was immediately canceled, like, fucking is going to get a reboot, and like, he thinks because
they didn't focus on the ghost enough. That was the heart of the story.
Yeah, no, he really thinks that, like, with all this Marvel stuff that's happening with Ant-Man,
he did other shit
characters
besides giving these kids powers. He had a whole other life going on. Let's talk about that.
He sold them pot.
Decorated the shit out of the inside of that piano.
So anyways, just to recap to this point, he was on a shitty kid show for 10 minutes. He let it go to his head, really lived the Hollywood lifestyle for about 6 months, then left in shame after tasting defeat, moved back to Texas, is in the middle of nowhere, waiting for there to be this reboot of his show that's never coming. Are we all on board?
Mm-hmm.
We're on the same page. Okay, so then I asked a question that fucking has kept me up nights. I said, so are you still acting? And he goes, no, not until they do the reboot. And I'm like, okay, what are you doing for money? He says, I track down relatives and sell them a secret worth millions.
Oh, God, here we go.
Oh, my God, I'm so interested. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Ryan, what's the secret?
I said, please go on. He said, well, my family has rights to oil in Texas, to oil land. We're heirs to it. And I have a lot of relatives, distant relatives, that don't know that. So I track them down as a sort of secret private PI. I find my distant relatives, and I sell them the information. I'm like, let me get this.
I got so many questions.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions, absolutely, too. Ask away. I'll tell them what you told me.
Wouldn't it be
Why
more...
Why would he take the information from himself?
Yes, wouldn't it be more profitable to just get this inheritance all to himself?
Uh-huh.
He's dividing it in half every time he offers it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So that was the first question I asked. He is only entitled to a portion of it.
Okay.
So he has already probably fucking gone through whatever he inherited from getting his piece of land. If any of this is true, by the way,
right?
Let's get that out of the way. I understand this could be a fantasy world, like A Beautiful Mind or something, where it turns out nada. But no, he's only entitled to a portion of it. So he's got relatives out there that are all entitled to a piece of the action now.
Okay.
So he tracks them down, tells them, I have a secret to tell you, but you have to let me have 50% of it if you want me to tell you.
Wow.
So he finds these people all over the United States, relatives of his, and instead of being like, I'm your long-lost cousin, he's like, I'm going to extort you.
Yeah.
I have something.
It's like a weird pyramid scheme.
That is crazy, and one would think it has to be true because he would only be getting 50% of it if there really was money, so there'd be no incentive for him to do it unless it paid off.
Right, exactly. So that's how I was like, okay, there's no way you'd be doing this unless, you're getting 50% of nothing. So he tells these, he's like, oh, and they always sign over because 100% of nothing is nothing, but they have to give me 50% of what they're entitled to.
So, what if we start calling him up ahead of him and offer 25-75 split?
Yeah. Of something that we have no claim to.
Yeah,
perfect,
yeah.
I love it.
He doesn't have either. We have just as much claim as he does.
Hey, listen, Ryan Shores, Degenerate Podcast. Listen, you don't know me. Have you ever seen Big Bad Beetleborgs?
Click, hello?
Hello? Hey!
He lived in a piano!
Hey, Ryan again, listen, you hung up a little bit. Let me just, okay, so there's this gay purple ghost on a kid's show, and you're related to him. Hello?
I'm gonna make you a millionaire!
Oh, hello! So anyways, I'm like, so you just call up your distant relatives and extort them? He's like, yeah, fuck them. I'm like,
did he tell you how much he gets per one?
No.
Interesting.
No.
It'd be really funny if it was like $19. Like,
could be. But I tell him, I'm like, one thing I ask, I'm like, okay, so when you call up a stranger and tell them, I'm your cousin, I have valuable information for you that's worth millions, but you have to sign a legal document.
See, but again, if it's worth millions, he's got to be making half of worth millions, you would think.
Yeah, but also, how many times can you do this? Because I feel like you do it once or twice. It's not like, let's say you had 25 cousins, you don't know most of them, and they're not going to talk to each other. Once you tell one guy, he's not going to call up and be like, hey, Bob, guess what? We're millionaires.
Right.
Like, it seems like...
Maybe that's in the contract.
So I kept asking these questions.
Yeah, yeah.
And he started to get very nervous and frustrated with me for asking them. And just wanted to focus on using my connections to get back to this Big Bang Beetleborgs reboot that the people are clamoring for. And he kept restating that fact. Like, the people out there are wanting this. And, like, you go to his page, it's like, all his pages is him posting behind-the-scenes pictures of him in makeup, like, with an undershirt on in his dressing room, like, giving a thumbs up, and
one... And they're current. Like, he's still putting on the makeup every day, just
it'll
waiting.
It'll be, like, one like, and the person that liked it has his same last name, and you're like,
I bet you he's doing that thing, too, where he is driving the car that was fucking awesome in 96, but now is, like, he's driving, like, a Supra, you know? Like, oh, man, that was baller in 96.
He's driving a 96 Lexus. Now, that was the height of luxury.
He's driving the NSX that the Wolf drove in Pulp Fiction.
The spoiler is duct taped on.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, he gave me some hush-hush information. He's like, hey, so you know I have this my signature big chin that all my fans know me for, right? I'm like, sure. Uh-huh. He's like,
you're the big chin comedian. That's what everybody would think of.
He said, in 96, I was going to go on The Tonight Show and do a bit with Jay Leno where we switched places because we both have big chins, but they scrapped it at the last second. Hey, don't tell anybody or else, you know, The Tonight Show could come after us because that never aired. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, they'll really sue us for that one.
There's literally nobody left there from that era, honestly.
Yeah, so, like, all these things, he's like, hey, by the way, that's hush-hush insider Hollywood stuff, kid. So anyways, when are you going to put me in touch? I see from your page. Oh, God. That's literally, I see from your page you're with Golden Artist Entertainment. So I looked into them, and I think I'd be a great client. I'm like, I've got to go. I have to go. He's like, all right. Well, we're going to be in touch here. We're going to be in touch. I'm like, hey. So anyways, I kind of want to kill myself now.
Dude, the saddest ending to this story would be, or the saddest possibility, he could literally move back to Hollywood. Everyone would find out that he used to be this star on this show for one season. He could sell out shows at clubs on off nights. Like, you that's how I fucked up it is
up there. He could certainly get a guest spot, I'll tell you what.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's so fucking sad that the state of comedy is at that someone like that, because that could happen. He could absolutely do that.
Star of a 90s TV show? Absolutely. Okay. That wasn't even basic cable. That was that was network.
That was network. Absolutely. That was Fox. Fox Kids, but still Fox. Okay, well, anyway, wish him the best of luck, and I'll follow up with him in a little while.
And soon we'll be torturing him using targeted Facebook ads like the Russians did to our country.
Yeah. I'll stop doing this when you fucking tell your relatives about the money that's coming to them.
Ryan, I had an interesting experience this week. It was my birthday, and I decided I was going to do something different.
Why didn't you tell us?
I don't make a big deal out of it. But I was like, hey,
well, then we won't either.
Yeah, all right. I was like, you know what? I want to do something productive. Like, I feel good when I get something productive done. And as we talked about in the last podcast, I had my hood flip up on me the other week and bend over my car. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go get a new hood.
Has it really been a year since I got you that Fred Savage cake?
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go get a new hood for my car. So I go out to the junkyard, and the junkyard holds a spot in my heart because I don't know about you guys, but I grew up. That is how you fixed your car. You went to the junkyard. You poked around until you found whatever the fuck was wrong with your car.
You got your friends to come with you, the morbidly obese kid.
Yeah, exactly.
The fucking hoodie with the eyes cut in it.
Yeah. And
you all just describing the Cosby gang.
Yeah, so then you all just played into racial stereotypes.
Sorry, I do.
First off, before I even leave, I take the hood off my car, the damaged one. I crush it up and put it in the car and take it in there for the core charge. And I go out there and I look through three junkyards, find the one that's got a decent enough hood that I can take off, remove the hood, pull everything out, find out that there's a hood latch wrong. It'd do a lot of work, and I feel pretty good about myself. And I'm walking with this hood towards like the checkout area of the junkyard. And as I'm walking with it, I see a
dude. What's the checkout area, dog?
Yeah.
Some dude with a box that's like, hey, I used to play Flabber on Big Bad Beetleborgs, you know that?
As I'm wheeling this thing back on the cart, and I see this guy, I'm like, did that guy bring his own chair to the junkyard? Is he just sitting in front of the car? And I was like,
okay, folding chair like we're on now?
That's what I thought. That's what
I'm hoping
like.
Lazy Boy.
Yeah, I was thinking Lazy Boy.
No, it looked like a folding chair. And I was like, did he just decide he's going to sit there and watch somebody else work? And as I get closer, I realize, oh, no, this guy's in a wheelchair.
Jesus.
And
as I get closer, it's not even like he's in a wheelchair because he's got like a broken leg or maybe he's got some trouble walking. He clearly has the underdeveloped lower half of somebody who is severely paraplegic, like completely paraplegic.
Right.
He's got the little pencil legs.
Yeah, very small legs. Yeah. And as I'm coming up, now
and he's looking for bigger wheels to put on his chair, right?
Monster truck wants to crush some Priuses.
Looking for a supercharger to throw on that bitch. So as he's coming up, now keep in mind, the floor of a junkyard, it's broken glass, shards of metal, and dirty oil. That's it. That is all that's on there. As I come closer, this guy hauls himself out of the chair, does like the cliffhanger Sylvester Stallone move on the bumper of an F-150, hauls his body underneath there, one-handed holding onto this bumper, starts wrenching on the underside of this truck. What I assume is like removing a starter or something, or maybe it was the oil pan or something, but like basically just pulling apart. And I sat there thinking, like, I went from like, hey, you know what I did today? I fucking pulled my old busted hood off and then I crumpled it with my bare hands and I brought it in here. I found a new hood and I went from feeling like super productive, like I'm gonna do something too. I'm the laziest piece of shit in this fucking place.
You know, let me tell you how that happens tenfold is when you've been out of the gym for a while. We all know that feeling where it's like, I fell off. Man, I was going every fucking day and now I'm off for like 3 months. I'm going to get back in there. And when you finally drag yourself back in there, you get over that hump. You're like, you know what? No. I know I had a long day, but I'm going in there. And you feel really good. You fucking, oh, man, I did 30 minutes on the elliptical, and I did some fucking chest exercises.
Yeah.
I am a superstar. I'm on my way back. And then you see the buff dude with a prosthetic leg. And on the other leg, he's got a Marine Globe anchor tattoo. So you know he didn't lose it from diabetes. He fucking, a fucking WMD hit this goddamn Hummer and the door cut his leg
off. He's got one less limb he has to focus on. So of course all his other ones are going to be more jacked.
Yeah, and in some ways, he's the one with the advantage.
This motherfucker's lost his leg in combat. And what was my excuse? I was depressed for a fucking week.
I will say this, though. It would be more apt if that guy had to work out covered in broken glass. Because this other guy.
Oh, that's true.
Hey, allow me to make you feel better about yourself. What day was this that you did that?
Thursday.
Okay. Thursday. I was going to wash dishes. I didn't. I took a nap instead.
Okay.
So
nice.
You should feel better about yourself.
Okay.
We'd be remiss if we didn't mention something on this episode because everyone's talking about it. Michelle Wolf.
Yeah. I say it was weirdly polarizing. I don't know how you guys saw on your feeds, but I had people who absolutely thought it was the best thing ever.
Yeah.
And then people who thought it was trash, it was garbage, it was horrible, and no middle ground.
That was so weird because I read all this the hubbub about it long before I don't usually watch those things. Occasionally they'll have a good joke or something I agree.
Let's not lose anyone here. Michelle Wolf, female comedian, did the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Yep.
Who chooses that?
Where you make fun of the president.
Well, yeah. I understand that, but who chooses the entertainment?
Yeah.
No idea.
Is it their administration?
Are you trying to get a Flapper a gig there next year?
We're waiting on the reboot, Dave. Let's think bigger here.
I mean, so yeah, basically they get up and they insult the president, and there was this big hubbub. Oh, she went too far. She started insulting women, and she did this and that. And I was like, interesting.
I saw people who were upset that she was insulting at all, and I'm like, that's the whole point.
And also, it's weird when you say you're insulting women. One, she's a woman, and two, it's not like because you have a vagina, you're uninsultable. It's not like you're like you have some kind of special status. Here are the two polarizations I noticed, which were really weird to me. One is people were outraged. They were like super pissed off. Yeah. Oh, she went so far, blah, blah, blah.
You can't say those kinds of things.
And I went and listened to it. So I was like, I have to listen to it. Listen to it. There is one joke in there that is ill-fitting and
fell flat.
Fell completely flat. You could title it offensive, though offensive is a subjective term, so what does it mean? But like, not a good joke for the room. That was a bad one. Scratch that one off the list. Count that in the negative column. Everything else is either whatever so-so or a good joke.
Great jokes. Yeah. Yes. They were solid. They were true. They were good burns.
Yes.
People were upset that she was making fun of Sarah Huckabee Sanders' looks. She was not.
I mean, she did a little bit, but I mean, not really. And also, everybody gets to be made fun of. There's not some rule where you are protected from making fun of it. First of all, her Mike Pence jokes were fucking hilarious.
Yeah, the Pence jokes were great.
The Pence one that I liked the best was Mike Pence is what happens if Anderson Cooper isn't gay.
Yeah. It was good stuff, dude. It was great, solid jokes.
Okay, so, and then of course, all the right-wing guys are all up in arms about it. Now, here is where I'm confused, and I've been confused for the last 2 years or so. I was under the impression that this whole movement, Trump's America, Made America Great Again, I thought, by their own rhetoric, that the whole point of this movement was, fuck your feelings, this generation's too PC, we refuse to care about feelings anymore. I miss the days where you could say faggot, retard, nigger. So that's why Trump is my president, because I'm tired of all you whiny snowflakes.
No, you're absolutely right, but they are based on hypocrisy, because the truth is it's fuck your feelings, respect mine.
Okay. Now I understand.
That's absolutely what
because
it is.
Because everyone fucking that is against the, anyone that would say something that's too colorful, like Michelle Wolf certainly did, whether you think it was funny or not, she was certainly colorful, is the whole, you have offended me that you do not say those things. And I'm like, I thought that's what you wanted.
Yeah, it was.
I thought you didn't care about
people's
feelings.
But not at them. Not at them.
Oh, okay. Well, now I understand.
By the end of it, I was wondering, like, where's the super offensive part? I get the abortion joke that was ill-fitting. It shouldn't have been in there, whatever, blah, blah, blah. That's one thing. All right, so unless you were saying, it was super offensive, this one joke, everybody was saying, no, her performance was offensive. The set was offensive.
Yeah.
I watched the whole thing. I was like, I don't get the offensive part.
Yeah, and the room was laughing.
And I will tell you, but the, I will tell you what the one funny thing I noticed too, the flip side of this, how the kind of liberal spin on it, which was also really deceptive, was they're like, yeah, the Republicans are mad because she was attacking Huckabee Sanders' looks, and here's the joke. And they did the whole, like, you burn lies and use
you
it.
You burn facts and use the ash to create a perfect smoky eye.
Right. So if you listen to the set, she has like...
That was actually a complimentary joke about
her
looks.
Yeah, yeah. She has like three or four burns on Huckabee Sanders. That is not the one people were offended by. If you listen to that, that is the least offensive of them. Again, not that any of them were over the line, not that anybody's beyond offensive or something, but what I didn't like is the liberal spin became, look at this super unoffensive joke that clearly everybody got offended by. It's like, no, 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 no. Anybody who listens to that set does not think that is the joke that got...
What do you think was the joke?
She had two before it, and I'd have to actually quote it and look at it, but she had two other ones against Huckabee Sanders that were much harsher burns.
I liked her her one against Kellyanne Conway about a tree falling in the woods. Yeah. How do we get it to fall on her?
Yes, yes.
And then before I knew it could be outrage, she's like, I don't want her to get hurt.
Yes.
Just want her stuck for a little while.
I want her stuck. Yeah, yeah. She even like preempted the outrage.
What but happened to Kellyanne Conway? She's still alive.
She's still around, yeah.
She's still trying to ruin the country.
She's
but
still the crypt
keeper. She was like the forerunner, the figurehead of this whole party, and then like I don't see her anymore.
Yeah, but the whole right wing.
She's like that guy from Big Bad Beetleborgs. We don't know who she is.
That whole right wing response of it's too far was just idiotic. It was silly. Absolutely wasn't too far. The fact that they didn't quote anything they thought was too far is a pretty good indication that there isn't something specific.
Ryan, bringing this back to your topic earlier about wonders from the 90s that have since faded. Did you see who this brought out of the woodwork?
Yeah, I believe you might be talking about Mr.
Dennis Miller.
Miller.
Yeah. He, of all people, was also outraged.
One of my favorite things is there's some left-leaning Twitter account that constantly refers to the stupid things Dennis Miller does as fired NFL commentator Dennis Miller. That's it. They don't reference his comedy career.
That set was more disgusting than a five-course meal in Bahrain with Hasu Arafat, babe. What are you talking about?
That's a fucking good Miller, man.
Yeah, that was really good. But the thing that blew my mind is, like, I haven't heard a fucking peep from or about Dennis Miller.
Right.
And maybe at least a decade. I don't know if he's right wing, left wing, whatever.
Oh, he's super right wing.
For him to come out and say Michelle Wolf is a horrid person, I'm going to write some roasts about her. I'll be back in 3 days.
Yes. Which, by the way, I believe today is the third day and we still
haven't seen it. He recanted it almost immediately.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Because this is the stupidest move you can do. It's the same as the guy who yells, oh, yeah, I'm going to kick your ass later. It's like, you're either kicking my ass now or you're not doing shit. Yeah. Like, come on.
Tell you what I like about Trump, babe. He's like a he's like a checkers player. Other these libtards are more like chess players. They think too much, babe. Yeah, yeah. This guy sees a guy an asshole. He jumps him. Checkers, babe.
He announced that he was going to come back and make fun of her.
Yeah, he said he's gonna read up on her.
Instead, why don't you ask
him? Why don't you just wait?
Why are you announcing what you're gonna do?
Hey, guess what? I just found out about this, and look at this amazing thing I have.
Yeah, yeah. His element of surprise did not work in that particular attack.
No, the thing that was funny is he actually did, like, almost immediately he came back and he said, I changed my mind, not going to do it. I've made jokes about people, whatever. It's just Sanders seems like a decent woman and she's so hated and she was right there. And everyone was reading that like, oh, he pussied out. And I'm like, no, but he still threw a joke in. He said Sanders is a decent person. That's a joke. So I give him credit for that one.
You know what? I did, after he got mercilessly roasted for being slow-witted, he did come back with a very self-deprecating joke that I appreciated. He said, all right, about me being roasted, I'll come up with a joke for that, too. You'll have it Thursday, babe. I'm like, all right, okay, that's pretty good.
Roseanne weighed in on that, too. Did you see that? I mean, we all know that she's a right-winger.
Well, no, what's funny is she's not. So she's a Trump supporter,
right.
But she's notoriously left-wing. Bill Maher even had a call to her recently on his show where he's like, I've known you for 30 years. You are a socialist. What are you doing? I know you want to just dismantle the system, but this isn't the right guy to do it. That Roseanne is a weird conundrum in this. Like, the fact that she has decided to become a Trump follower is so out of left field.
Anyways, the whole point that I'm trying to make about Michelle Wolf and really anything that's on either side of the spectrum is there's half the people saying you can't say that, which you're wrong, and there's another half saying you can't criticize them for saying that, also wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it all breaks down to everyone saying free speech but it's only about their side. You know
right,
what I mean?
Exactly. Like very hypocritical.
Said, perfect example is all right. There's been this fucking hacky ass photo op that dads have been doing around prom season, which is right now, by the way. That's why I'm thinking about
this. This like dates back to caveman times. There's some fucking photo with a dude with a spear.
Right, right. It's we've all seen it, and we've all probably the first time we saw it gone, haha, but then saw it 1,000 more times. When all right.
Well, have you guys been in these pictures before? What we're talking about is the picture where the dad is he's holding a gun or a knife or something.
Prom night, you got the daughter and you got the date, and then the dad's cleaning a rifle in the background,
or loading a rifle.
He's looking menacingly, like, "Don't you touch my daughter, cool yoke." And so the joke is, yeah, I get it. Don't you touch my daughter. And when I first saw it in fucking 2004, I was like, okay.
Well, but have you ever been the kid? Have you ever been the kid showing up to the dad's house?
I mean, yeah, but I've been intimidated, but not because he was cleaning a firearm. I mean, my high school's girlfriend, her dad was like a competitive body lifter. I'm like, ah!
Hey, what about you, Dave?
No.
I have a funny one because I have been the guy who's gotten threatened casually by the parent with the gun in a somewhat tongue-in-cheek manner.
Wait a minute. He was holding a firearm?
Yes, yes, but it had nothing to do with it.
And he wasn't teasing you a little bit.
Yes, it was teasing. It was. I'm not saying he threatened to kill me. It was a tongue-in-cheek.
He's doing a bit. He's doing a bit. All right.
But it had nothing to do with me taking somebody out on a date. It was actually his
car?
No, it was his son, who's my good friend, who I was maybe, you could say, a bad influence on. And the threat was, because his son was driving us that night, and his threat was, you better make sure he doesn't drive home drunk.
Okay, all right.
And I have gotten... I've gotten a lot of parent threats. I feel like I'm an easily threatenable kid. Or it was like, parents saw me and they're like, I'm going to threaten the shit out of that
king of threats.
But yes, there is that ongoing thing, the father threatening the young lad as he comes to pick his daughter up. Now,
so here's the thing. Nothing about it offends me. I just think it's hack as fuck at this point, for one thing.
Sure, it's hacky. He's not a comedian. He's an ex-NFL kicker. Like, he's not supposed to be putting out good material.
I know that. But if you've seen someone do something 1,000 times...
Yeah, it's just what it is. But the left went crazy on it. They started flipping
Let's
out.
Let's talk about the two arguments.
Yes.
Okay, the argument from the left is... You are exerting your control over over a woman's sexuality.
Right.
That's what this is. It also guns. And then the other side is like, hey, can't you libtard snowflakes take a joke, cool yoke?
And Bill Gibran, who's a very left-wing guy already, put this up and said, you know,
is this going to become the Bill Gibran fucking Facebook post show?
It will be. he put it up and saying, like, you know, hey, listen, I'm pretty left-leaning. I attack the right a lot, but I should attack the left for this because this is a stupid thing to get mad about. And I fucking agree. And Dave, I know you disagree. I think it was the stupidest thing to get mad about, and I think it shows the way we get things framed based on our existing political beliefs. Because if you think about it, when people got mad about that, they said, oh, he's trying to control that daughter's sexuality. Maybe. Maybe not. You don't know that for sure. There's a lot of different messages that sends, including don't fuck with my daughter if she tells you not to. Like, you better not be trying to rape her in the backseat of a car. You don't know what the joke is. Mm-hmm. So you're already making
that's
that assumption.
That's all about sexuality right there.
No, don't rape my daughter. That's not about trying to control your daughter's sexuality. That's
Listen,
trying to
I'm
protect
not saying I was. I said I was not offended. I don't think it's offensive. I think it's stupid. But I also say... that I think it is about sexuality, whether the guy doing the picture knows it or not.
Think about this. You're already making that assumption. How do you even know? Maybe they sat down and had a talk and he was like, listen, my daughter tells you not to kiss her, not to touch her leg. You better fucking listen to her. How do you know? You're making an assumption that he's saying, you can't have sex with my daughter. You can't kiss my daughter.
Okay.
You are making an assumption based on no inherent knowledge.
Inherent knowledge, he's threatening the boy.
Yes.
For...
the possibility of transgressing against his daughter in a way she doesn't
also,
want to.
Also, the possibility of even if the daughter wanted to, he might be saying,
how
hey.
Do you know? But you don't know. You're assuming that and then putting that judgment qualification on him.
Okay, can I say one thing?
Yeah. No. Podcast over. Good night.
All right. This is the Big Bad Beetleborgs podcast.
Yes.
My whole thing is, just like every other topic, including the one we just covered, is people saying, you can't be posting those kinds of photos because it creates a stigma. Yes, they absolutely can. But I get to also make jokes of you secretly want to bang your daughter.
Sure, totally.
And that's what I get to do.
Yeah.
So my whole thing is, all right, if you would like to put up that photo, No, I don't think it's creating a rape culture, but I do get to say you have an unhealthy sexual urge towards your daughter.
Possibly.
If you're going to have that sort of reaction to her sexual maturity.
It's possible.
So
it's
I get to say that. You get to do your gun photo. You just have to weigh how much you like your gun photo versus the jokes I'm going to make about
it. But again,
that's life.
It's also possible that what he's saying is you better respect what she has to say and you better not push things farther than she wants to go. That is, there is nothing at all offensive or oppressive about that whatsoever. Also,
this is super played out, and that's the part that bothers me.
But also, here is the bigger part that you can tell this is the political framing issue, where you see what your political side wants you to see. One of the people in that picture, if you were to assume there's some kind of literal joke behind it, regardless of what you assume the intention is, whether you say he wants you to respect his daughter, he wants you to not touch his daughter, he wants you to not drive drunk, whatever it is, the thing we can all agree on is he's threatening to shoot a child.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Now, you have to already have a political framing mindset to come out and say, hey, he's threatening to shoot that young man. But what does that mean for women's rights? It's the equivalent of watching somebody in the Middle East and they're like, if this young woman goes to school, we dump acid on her face. And they're like, how's that going to make the boy next to her feel?
Yeah. Okay,
one of those people is actually having a threat put against them.
One, okay, so I did troll the fuck out of one guy that posted one of these fucking gun prom things, and this was last year actually, and I was like, you need a firearm to intimidate a high school student?
He's yes.
Like, oh, I don't need that gun. I'm like, yeah, the gun in the picture. He's like, I don't need it. Like, why'd you put it in the picture? I don't fucking. So you're afraid that guy's gonna beat you up if you don't have your gun?
Yeah, right.
Oh, pussy, that kid's fucking 115 pounds.
That is a good point. You should be hitting a heavy bag when they show up.
Yeah. Fucking show me that. All right, I would like to see the photo where he's in MMA gloves.
Yeah.
And then a mouthpiece.
And it doesn't even include the fact that, listen, depending on what state she's in, if she's 16 or under, that father actually has a legal responsibility to make sure she doesn't have sex.
Oh, that's true.
If you were really concerned about your daughter's safety, you wouldn't post a picture.
Why is that?
You would just show the kid the gun and have no evidence that
You're right. It's not a concern. It's a joke.
By posting the picture, you're saying, hey, everybody, look at this. I got a
Bobby's
yeah, yeah, because it's a joke.
Nah.
And it's not a funny joke. And it's only a joke that can be seen in a negative light if you make a whole bunch of negative assumptions first. So you have to it's like if you watched your neighbor out there mowing his lawn, you're like, he's doing that because he hates black people. He's fucking cutting that grass because he hates black people.
My whole end to it is a joke. I get that it's a joke. It's a stupid joke. It makes you look worse than you're trying to make this little kid look.
Absolutely. And you know what?
I said, it makes you look like you want to bang your daughter and you need a gun to fucking scare a child.
That's absolutely. 100%.
And also, everybody is smiling in the fucking picture. They're all having fun.
True.
It's the internet that made that an issue. None of them actually gave a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways.
That kid didn't think he was getting shot. That girl didn't think her sexuality was being governed. That father did
now
not
you're
think,
making assumptions.
That father did not think he was going to have to shoot a child.
Bobby, like, making assumptions again,
kid,
Bobby. Making assumptions.
And he's anxiously waiting the reboot of Big Bad Beautiful. All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby and all the rats in my garage saying see you next week, cruising with the twos.
His corpse was just molesting kids. Motherfucking time is passing.